be seated. Thank you, fellas. Whew. It's always been a mystery to me how people call themselves unbelievers when they choose to not believe in Christ. And they say, well, I'm not a man of faith. And I'm thinking, well, my God, everything you believe is based on faith. You have no factual evidence. Even the scientific world is wise enough to call it theory. It's so amazing how much faith it takes to be an unbeliever. You literally have to believe that every molecule, every electron, every single, you have to believe that oxygen was accidentally made for lungs. You have to believe that there was literally an ozone layer that was designed to keep oxygen within a planet so that we could breathe. It actually takes more faith to be an unbeliever than it does to be a believer. It amazes me how many people battle on a daily basis with doubt concerning the things of God. I'm saying that tonight because we're talking about spiritual gifts, and some people need to make the distinction tonight. And what that distinction is it me talking to me? Or is there something deeper happening here? What does the voice of God sound like? And you know, every time God has ever spoke to me, you know who it sounds like? Me. You know why? Because he's glorified by getting in me, working through me, and manifesting himself in the uniqueness that he gave me. Until you learn to love yourself, your voice will never matter. And if your voice doesn't matter, you'll never respond to God's polling because he's always going to use your tone. You can't read a book without your voice being involved. Man. I'm trying. This entire series is going to just be a blessing to all of us. So we're going to get into this tonight. Last week we went to 1 Corinthians and we dealt with a couple different things. 2 Peter first, I'm just doing a quick recap. 2 Peter 1 said that no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God. Let me just give something to build your faith here before we get into this. I don't know if anybody's here besides myself went to theology school. But if you have been to theology school, one of the things that you learn as it relates to the canon, that's the compiling of scriptures that we have. The Bible is not a book. The Bible is several books that are put together. And the amazing thing about scripture is that the authors, most of them, never met. Some of them were 1,000 years apart from each other. And what is amazing is everything they wrote concerning God lined up with one another. Everything that they wrote concerning God lined up. It's no coincidence that Abraham, given his new name, literally was on the mountain going up to sacrifice his son, whom God would sacrifice 2,000 years from that point. Whom God would sacrifice, told Abraham to sacrifice his son, and then he gets ready to sacrifice, and right when he's getting ready to sacrifice his son, all of a sudden God says, don't sacrifice your son. I have my own sacrifice. He's over there in a thorn bush. It's no coincidence that when we get to Christ a long time after, that the true Lamb of God, the true sacrifice of God, dies on a cross with a thorn bush on his head. These authors never met. I'll tell you this to build your faith. You know, doubt is not just a moment of unbelief. Doubt is a diet of unbelief. Doubt is when you continue to eat people, their sayings, when you open your ear gate to conversations that are filled with atheistic beliefs. What it does is it strengthens the unbelief. And I'm telling you, it's funny how it's so much more difficult to distinguish the voice of God than it is the voice of the enemy. We seem to want to lean towards that a whole lot easier than we'll lean towards faith. This series is designed to do several things. I'm trying to take you, I do a lot of counseling these days, and I'm not, you know, Pastor Candace, this is her, that's her deal. Like, she's the bomb at that. If you need counseling, go see her. I do spirit talk. I don't have all the psychological things that she's been trained to do, and what she does is spiritual listening as well, but there's also format and understanding education there as well. I just listen to people's heart and try to hear the Holy Spirit and just do what I'm supposed to do as a pastor. And I'm counseling a couple. They don't go here, so you don't know them. And this couple, I had asked them, I said, here's what I want you to do. Week one, here's what I want you to do. I need you to watch this video. Because this video is going to lay out step by step some of the issues. And then once we watch the video, it's going to bring us into the next week where we're able to deal with what communication is. And as we get into communication, what's going to happen is it's going to open you up at a deeper level. So we get to the next week. I asked them, like I do every couple that I do, what did you think about the video? It was apparent after about 2 minutes of stumbling over the words, they didn't watch the video. They didn't watch the video. And because they did not watch the video, I let them talk. But I had to be stern with them and say, listen, I don't want to waste my time and I do not want to waste your time. And I certainly don't need the money at this point. The bottom line is, if this is going to be effective, I need you to do what I'm asking you to do. Why? Because if I throw the answer at you right now and we skip all the way to the end and I just go, boof, that's what's going to help you, it's going to fail miserably. Why? Because you've not taken the proper steps to be able to manage it. There's a reason why I told you to do step one, because it prepares you for step six. If you do not take step one seriously, you just want to get right to the end, you're not ready for real change. And just a side note, most people that say they're ready for change are looking for relief from their symptoms. They're not ready for change. Change requires discipline. And this is why this series is so important tonight, because I'm trying. We talked about spiritual gifts as it relates to love. Remember, spirit first, love second, gifts third. I'll say it one more time. I want to get that in your spirit. Spirit first, love second, gifts third. Why? As it relates to developing your spiritual gift, whatever it is, let's say you have a prophetic gift and you see things prophetically and you discern things and you feel things and you sense things and God gives you words and you have emotional, feelings. You can walk into a room and you can sense the atmosphere. You can sense when it's tight. You can sense when it's fake. You can sense when it's authentic. You know, how many know not everybody's real? Right? And when you're prophetic, you can feel those people. You hear what they're saying. You see past their advertising, and you see actually what the heart is revealing. Right? Before we get to all of that, for that to be beneficial, we got to do step one. And step one last week was simple. Love. Getting to understanding what love is. Because the beauty of love is that it matures us in a way. Remember I told you last week, I said that before we can ever get to the gifting side, we have to be perfected in love, because love is the thing that protects our gift from being something that is pushing another kingdom, another will, another agenda. And it doesn't always have to be the devil's agenda. Sometimes the enemy of God's will is simply our will. It's not the voice of the enemy. Sometimes we just want things in our own insecurity that the Father's not wanting. Amen, somebody. Have you ever tried to force something and make something work that God never designed to work? God said no, and you're still saying maybe. It don't work that way. And so we got to understand the importance of the steps. So week one, I want to really get that in you. If you didn't get a chance last week to listen to that, I believe it's uploaded. Please go and watch that. That's free. Just go and check it out. We never charge for the word. It's always free. Revelation will cost you, but it's free. Y'all gonna make me Have to get hyped tonight, huh? I can feel it. Remember I just said how you can feel the room? I can feel the room. It's all right, though. It's going to cost you something. So we talked about all that last week. We talked about being led of the Spirit. We talked about the Corinth church as it relates to the condition that they was in. So tonight I want to quickly go over to Mark chapter 1, Pastor Tim. We're going to read 40 through 45. Grab your word if you got it, or you can see it up here on the screen. We make it pretty easy for you here. Mark chapter 1, verse 40 through 45. And before we get there, I put this down. I just want to get into what we're talking about here tonight. But I put this down. When it comes to the gift of healing, many times we pray from doubt rather than faith developed by love. In other words, we're not praying, be healed in Jesus' name. We're saying the words, be healed in Jesus' name. But in our spirit, this is what we're doing. I hope that he heals you in Jesus' name. And God doesn't never, it's never about the verbal things that we say. I've heard preachers make entire sermons out of this is how you get saved, the Romans road. And the entire sermon is based off of, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, come on now, that he is risen from the dead, come on, you shall be saved. The problem is that means nobody mute could be saved. Just because Paul said it does not mean that is a universal, it's not like a spell that we're casting to guarantee our salvation. Yes, Paul said it, but he was speaking abroad. If somebody was mute, it's not about what you're physically saying. It's about what your heart is saying. The language of the Spirit is not Hebrew. The language of the Spirit is not Aramaic. The language of the Spirit is not Greek. It is Spirit. The language of God is Spirit. It will always be Spirit. Those that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Right? It's our spirit man that is crying out to the Father. It is the Holy Spirit that is communicating with our spirit man and dialoguing with the Father. And so why is this important? This is how your gifts are used. This is how your gifts are developed. Because what's going to happen as you mature, you're going to start making distinctions between what is you talking to you and what is God talking to you. Because when you're insecure and you're developing your gift, what's going to happen is you're going to start trying to step out in faith only to make your insecurities feel significant. And remember what we said last week, that timing is just as important as the message. That if God has given you something, it's not just because you got a word that you go ahead and blab it out. You also need to wait for the release of that word. When is God giving you permission to release what it is that God has given you to? Sometimes God will give you a word and tell you to sit on it just to teach you patience. Come on, somebody. And if you're insecure and you're the somebody that needs the microphone, and it's funny how some people get real radical when a microphone's in their hand. But then you'll watch them do your worship and they're looking at the spiders. And some of the worst worshipers in the church are the leaders. All across America. I've never been the type of leader that walks out after the worship. I know that's foreign to y'all in this house, man, but I grew up, man, when praise and worship go on and they take you back, I'll go preach some places. We'll be back in the green room and we're talking about the NBA finals, man. While worship's going on, they just want to throw me up there and give me the mic. I need to feel your house first, dude. I'm not giving y'all the message of the month. I need to feel what's going on in your house because I'm coming in. I'm a prophetic voice. I need to feel your people. I need to be in worship. I need to be intimate. We need to be together, surrounded. Come on, somebody. Every leader should be in worship. Why are you back in the office there in worship? Man, get out there and worship. Come on, you don't graduate from being a worshiper. You don't graduate from being a worshiper. There ain't no title giving you permission to not be a worshiper. Keep them titles if it means I don't have to worship no more. What got me there was worship. Why would I alienate myself from it? Amen, somebody. We don't need grand entrances, and I don't have to have a red carpet where I'm walking. I just want to be in the presence of the Lord. Why? Because it teaches me the heart of the house so that I can deliver the heart of God to the people. Amen? So we want to make sure that we are making a distinction between what is God speaking to us, and what is me speaking to me, or what's the enemy speaking to me? Because all three of them can be at work. And sometimes at the same time. Most times at the same time. Amen? Y'all with me? All right, so let's get into this. You can't talk about healing, we're talking about the healer. So let's get into Mark here. Here we go.
And a leper came to Jesus, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him, and saying, if you are willing, you can make me clean.
Okay, watch this. Two things happen here. You know there's so much revelation in every sentence. A leper came to Jesus. We're talking about healing. He didn't say Jesus went to the leper. The leper came to him. And before you're the person that says, well, if you're anointed, you should just be able to heal people in Jesus' name. No, no, no. No, your level of anointing doesn't determine the manifestation somebody carries. Nope. Sorry. Read your Bible. Jesus could not do many miracles in his own town. He was the anointed. You can't get more anointed than him. And his hands was tied. Called to the nations, called to redeem. I mean, nobody has a bigger purpose than him. Gets to his hometown, and because they were so familiar, the old saying that familiarity breeds what? Contentment. Why it's important that you don't just see me as your friend, but you recognize the gift. I'm still pastor. I'm a gift to you. Regardless of struggles, regardless of anything that I've dealt with, you know, anything that I've ever dealt with in my personal life, man, I've tried my best to show you what it looks like in repentance. I've tried my best because I refuse to be a leader that's going to stand up here and sell you something that's just not possible. I can't preach perfection to you because I know nothing about it. I can trust the Father's heart towards me and align myself to it, and hopefully that becomes a model that you can get with. Is that okay? So here he is. He says that a leper came. Why is a leper so important? Because the Old Testament. You have to remember, Jesus was being examined at all times by the Old Testament-minded people that was raised in the culture of the law. A leper comes to Jesus. What was the rule about a leper in the law of Moses? You had to kick him out of the camp. It wasn't a matter of just don't touch him. Listen, it was a sin under the law of Moses to even touch the leper. But then the other thing was get him out of the camp. They can't even be around. You thought COVID was bad. Listen, that was even worse. You can't even be nowhere near anybody at all. Nowhere near. They'd kick him out of the camp. It was a leper. It was extremely, extremely contagious. And it's funny. This man approaches Jesus. And Jesus has a conversation. And the man says, if you're willing, I know you can heal me. I'm trying to figure out if you're willing, though. Now, watch what happens here, Pastor Tim. Let's read it. Y'all ready for this? I'm trying to give you these are some nuggets here. Watch this.
Moved with compassion.
Right there. The first step I taught you last week was love and charity. Why? Because that's where compassion, emotions with a compass. That's what compassion is. It's emotions with a compass. It's not just wild emotions. It's emotions with true north.
Wow.
Come on, man. There it is. I just felt a break. Thank God. Come on, somebody. That's what compassion is. Emotions with a compass, with directions, with the north. It's not just, I feel this way, so let me just throw it out there. No, no, no. It's governed emotions that are stewarded by the spirit of discipline. That's what true emotion. Jesus was led by compassion, right? Felt compassion for this man. And watch what happens here.
Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him.
He did what?
He stretched out his hand
and look what it says. He broke the law of Moses. I need you to see this. You know you're religious. You know you're religious if the rules matter more than the person. Say it again. You know you're religious if the rules matter more than the person. Jesus has somebody that was in desperate need of a life change, a lifestyle change. Hey, can you imagine being a leper in that day? Can you imagine all the people that would run away from him? All the failed relationships, how isolated he must and how lonely he must have felt? It's one thing to be sick. It's another thing for people to abandon you while you're sick. And Jesus could have just, like the centurion, he could have said, listen, you don't have to come to my house. I'll just heal you. It's just a faith thing. But Jesus intentionally touched him. He touched the untouchable. We're talking about healing. He was willing to get dirty. He was willing to say, whatever's on me is greater than what's on you. There's no fear of me getting involved in your situation because I know that what's in me is greater than what's on you. See, the leper didn't have a disease within. He had a disease on the outside. When you got something within, it always trumps what somebody externally is dealing with. Whew, you can't get rid of this within stuff. You can get rid of this stuff on the outside, but this within stuff is a little different. And Jesus, he chooses to touch them. Woo! You talking about you want to heal people, you want to use your gifts, you don't want to touch nothing dirty. That's why God ain't using you. You're too afraid to get involved with people with a past and a mess and all this stuff. You don't want to be troubled on your Monday. You don't want to be bothered on Tuesday. And you wonder why God ain't using you. You still caught up in your own world. You think that you are the reason for peace. And God is saying, no. Are you willing to touch them? Are you willing to make contact with them? Anybody, any coward can say, just use your faith and be healed. Are you willing to get dirty? Are you willing to risk your reputation? Come on, somebody. I told you, yes, we should be the people that live above reproach, but never suspicion. Live above reproach. Live with a standard, but never suspicion. Let people think what they want. It's none of your business. As long as you're walking with the Lord. Woo, let them live in your yesterday. You live in your today. Come on, somebody. I ain't got time for all that stuff. That's behind me. And if you're still there, so are you. Every time you entertain something you repented of, you're going backwards. I'm not saying that you can't in humility apologize if you've offended. I'm simply saying, if the spirit of offense that they carry gets on you and you feel like you're still that person after you know you've repented of it and made the changes, that's the enemy working. Whew. Amen, somebody. Man, this okay. So look here, let's continue to read. Man, I just love this passage.
And said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he sternly warned him and immediately sent him away.
Watch this. This part right here has always bothered me about Jesus. Watch this.
And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go.
You're talking about this dude's life. That's like you saying, Pastor Gale, I'm broke. I say, here's $1 million. Go tell nobody. Come on, man. Your whole walk is going to change. Even if you don't say that, you'd be like. You're right. Everything about you is going to change. Why? Because the weight of the burden has been lifted. It's been lifted. You do walk different when you're free. Some of y'all don't do good with pressure. Right. And so he tells this man, he says, listen, he just changed his life. Because healing the leprosy wasn't just about removing the blemishes from his skin. It was about now making him available for relationships. Which means now the man was turning around, not only free from the blemishes, but now for the first time in a long time, he's seen a future. It's possible I can fall in love again. It's possible I may be able to have kids. It's possible that I can be a part of a community. It's possible that I can do this. It's possible that I don't have people running from me. Whoa, he is getting ready to encounter life from a completely different place.
Yeah.
All because he was touched. Jesus didn't just heal him, he touched him because he wanted him to get used to what touching feels like. Because he's about to enter into a community of touchers.
Pastor Gail.
Because people could no longer see on him what they used to see. Relationships are usually only as deep as people can see. We're talking about healing tonight.
Message.
I'm not training anybody in here tonight to be the... what I don't want you is to be come out of this thinking you're some high sparrow, prophet, apostle. You can get on the street corner screaming to the wind. I'm not trying to make you nothing like that. I'm trying to make you spiritual. How to be effectively to operate in the lives of people and make changes and not be afraid of the things they go through. Whew, that's good. So watch this next part. So Jesus says to him, he just gives him this blessing, y'all, and listen, I know what you're thinking. We're overcomers by the word of our testimony. Everything we know about God is like, praise him. You know, shout from the rooftops. In his encounter with Jesus, Jesus essentially, in a very nice way, says, shut up. When people start irritating me, I'm going to start using Jesus' words like, listen, go and tell nobody. Now, y'all know what that means. Shut up. Man, I just wish you would go and tell nobody. And the first thing the dude does is runs. I used to think coming up that Jesus would say this subliminally, like a reverse psychology type of thing, like, I'm going to tell you not to, and you know what you're going to do. You're going to go do everything different, and that's exactly what I want. No, no. Jesus actually didn't want that. Why? Because he was a real healer. Well, let us sit for a second. Because the only thing, man, God, let this fall, let this hit. The only thing that that guy's testimony was going to do was bring crowds. And a real healer didn't have much of a purpose in a crowd. Crowds was meant for teaching. Well, let us sit for a second. Yeah. Hmm. So look at, keep reading, Pastor Tim. He's just going to get, it's going to get worse.
See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. But he went out and began to
see, Jesus told him to go to the priest. Why? Because Jesus was interested in changing governments. Listen, that's why he healed. He said, I'm going to give you what you need, but here's what I need from you. I need you to go to the people that still think healing operates this way. I need you to go as a testimony that there's a change coming. And this operates different. We get dirty. We touch the unclean. We do it different. Moses served me. I'm not serving him. Moses testified to me. Come on, somebody. I'm the answer. Come on now. Moses wasn't the answer. I'm the answer. He was seeing me. I was the blood on the doorpost. Come on, somebody. I was the ram in the bush. Come on, somebody. I was the bush that would not burn. Come on, somebody. I was the staff in the wilderness. I was the rock that you hit. Everything, every test, every trial Moses ever did was nothing but a type and shadow. And now Jesus, the rock, the manna, everything that he is now here. And he said, listen, I need you to go to the gatekeepers. And tell you, show them, look at me. It's gone. They're going to say, how? He touched me. He touched you. He did exactly what our government told us not to do. How did he get the result? Jesus was not just into healing just because he was passing out magic spells so people could feel better. There was a purpose in this. He was trying to change the government. Come on, somebody. He was about changing the way we do things. If Jesus or Paul was here today, he is definitely going after the structure of the church. The way we do it is wrong. The American church is so unbiblical, it don't even make sense. We wonder why we can't get a manifestation of God. It's because of the way we are preparing for it. We got altars at the front of a church. The altar should be in the back. As soon as you walk in, you need to get right so when you come in, you can get a manifestation. The conclusion of a service isn't repentance, it's walking in the kingdom. Repentance is that, come on, well, that's the first step. We're making forgiveness the end. That's the beginning of the Christian life. By the time you get to me, it's about equipping. Let's just get it straight. You're forgiven. Say amen.
Amen.
Come on now, get the keys to the kingdom and walk in it. Woo. Come on. So this is where we're at. So Jesus says here, I'm trying to get to this, man. Pastor Tim gets me hyped. Now come on.
But he went out.
Yeah.
And began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news around.
Why did he do that? Is it because he's a bad guy? No, it's because the dude hasn't had a conversation with nobody. Don't beat him up for disobeying. The man ain't been able to have a conversation with nobody for the first time. The thing that scared everybody off ain't there no more. It probably just felt good to talk. And he had to deal with the reason that he's around them. Well, they're probably still scared. Man, ain't you to do with the bumps? No, back up. Where's your face mask? You need a face mask. 6 feet. Come on, back up. He's that Walmart guy. You know, they don't pay attention to no protocols. Just breathing on your neck. Dude, there is COVID. I love my people, but white people be the ones right on you like.
I know. 3 feet, no care.
Man, in Jesus' name, go and tell nobody. And back up. But you got to give the guy some grace. He's out there twice the first conversations he's had in a long time other than Jesus, right? Because he's been kind of like away from everybody. So he goes out, does exactly what Jesus tells him not to do. To the extent, now here's the key, that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city. Why is that a problem? Because crowds bring different appetites than that of discipline. He's a real healer. He's not just a symptom reliever. I'm going to just let that sit. Oh, my goodness. Woo. The doctors, the medical world, trillions of dollars, because people want relief from symptoms that they could actually get relief from if they just have a lifestyle change. They don't want discipline that's married to deliverance. They just want relief. Just give me something to take the pain away. I'll live with the problem as long as the pain doesn't interfere. Jesus was a real healer. He was a wholeness guy. He was all about real holiness, which in our English word is derived from the word actually holy. Not holy in the sense of I am without sin. Holy in the sense that I am completely whole. Right? Jesus was a holy guy. He was all about getting your mind and your spirit and your body working in unity together to accomplish the will of God. Come on, man. Come on, man. That's what he was about. And crowds never seem to really have that type of desire. They just wanted a relief from the system. Every time Jesus got in the crowd, he would teach. He would teach. Very often would he do miracles. He did that one time with the loaves and the bread, but that's just because he wanted to teach a little bit longer and people was hungry. It's hard for people to hear when they're hungry. But he says, I'll multiply one meal because Jesus only serves one meal.
I'm trying.
I told y'all you're going to have to stretch your necks on this one. It's going to go over your head. Just stand up, stretch. Just get it. He only serves one meal. He multiplies one meal. What I eat in the kingdom is the same thing you eat. Finished lamb. And you get your meat cooked one way. Well done. My good and faithful. Whew. What time is it? I ain't going to be able to finish this up. Okay, I got 50 more minutes. No, I'm kidding. See that you say nothing to anybody. It's so imperative to understand. I'll give you one more principle. I don't want to keep you too long. I want you to come back for next week. It's so important to understand that typically what attracts crowds is the wrong thing. If I was to do a conference, let's say we took our worship conference that brings in everybody from the city. You guys know how we do it. It's packed, right? I say, this year I'm going to do a conference on, I'm going to bring somebody in on how to eat good to produce better mental health. Let me see a show of hands who's going to be here. I just want to see it. Am I going to be here? That's the question. I probably watch it from home with some Jets wings. That's good stuff, baby. Can you give me that bread? But part of healing is the entire package. Jesus is not just in to just relieving the symptoms. Why does this matter in the context that we're teaching this series? Because if you're going to be operating in your gift, you're not just a symptom reliever. Your job is to serve the entirety of what the Holy Spirit's doing in their life. And you have to, only way to do that is to rid yourself of self-desires that are gratified in other things than the heart of the Father. Yes. Yes. You have to be willing to lay your life down in order to really effectively be used in your gift. Why are you struggling with hearing God? Because there's too much of you in the way. It's just that simple. There's too much of you in the way. Some of y'all want to hear God. You don't even have a prayer life. That's why I said spirit first, love second, gifts third. The greatest gift that was ever given to us is the Spirit. To the point to where Jesus would no longer remain. He said, it is necessary that I go so that he can come. You know what that, man, can I just get a little deeper here? Typically, the Word and the Spirit will interchangeably work together. But once God gives you a word, he wants you to start walking in the Spirit. Problem is, some of us get stuck in the middle, still looking for a word or a direction from God. You've already been given it. You're supposed to be walking in the Spirit now. Some of you are stuck waiting to hear for direction for your life. You've already been given the direction. You just need to figure out how to take it from here to here. And that's why the scripture says, now that you, listen, have the Spirit, it's walk in the Spirit. Do something with it. People say, come up to me all the time, say, Pastor, how did you know that about me? Because I failed a lot prophetically. Man, I used to, when I was trying to discern God, I walk up, I just feel God's telling me that you own a bath. I would say weird stuff because it come to my mind. They'd be like, huh? Oh, that ain't God. Don't follow that voice no more. Like, I'm sorry I used you as training. Like, I was different. I was different. Like, man, did you own a store? Not even at all. Like, they needed to borrow money from me. Like it was, I was so off on sometimes. But every time I was off, I learned the beauty of it is I wasn't afraid to figure out what was me and what was him. Now it's a whole lot easier to figure out what's him because I know what was driving me in those moments. God was dealing with my fears to not step out. I'm stepping out now. I'm going to either drown or this thing is going to work. But I'm in it. Right? And God taught me how to do this. And you start to learn the voice of the Father. And then God gives you a prophetic eye. The prophetic ministry is all about the seeing eye, the hearing ear, and the awakened heart. God will use these three functions to teach you how to operate in the Holy Spirit so that you can begin to discern people. And it's not something that God has come down and kicked the door. I've got the eye now. I can see it. I can probably go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and just start giving out prophetic words. And they'll resonate with people simply because of what God is saying. It's once you see it, once you feel it, once you walk in it, it becomes a new world to you. Comes a new world to you. Watch this. Stand up, darling. Watch this. Show you. Real simple. Looking at this woman, I can see strength. I can see, and there's things by permission that I know about you, but I want to give you some things, and I was going to give you this anyway. I'm going to use you as an example, but it's still a word for you. I see you as a foundational piece to your family, everybody that's connected to you and your family. I feel like the enemy has been fighting your family to actually pull them away from the things of God, and I feel like God has got an anchor in you. And this is a season in which God is going to develop your gifts so that you can begin to speak on issues that you and you only have permission to speak on, right? And so what's going to happen is God is going to begin to develop your heart to distinctively be able to know what is his voice for them. But here's the other key. God is going to give you supernatural patience. He's already been dealing with the love with you. But now supernatural patience are going to come as you begin to speak to these issues. Okay? When you came to VC, you had a love reformation happen, right? So you was already in love with your family, but now the way that you love is a different. You're not even the same person you was when you came here. Am I any of this resonating? Okay. So, but this is a word from the Lord for you. It's foundation. Now, how do I see this? Is the Holy Spirit coming out saying, thus say this to her? No. See and I awaken our hearing ear. Every time I get around her, I can feel it on her. I feel strength. I feel anchors. I feel stability. I feel passion. I feel it on her. That's it. It's easy to speak to. God typically will give you a word and allow your intellect to define it. Yeah. Sounds crazy, huh? It's how it happens. Yeah. It's how it happens. God doesn't speak. Every time God speaks, he also uses the tools that you have developed. You know, and so that's how it is. I can feel, I can sense it on you. It's been stirring me for a while, but I just let the Holy Spirit create the opportunity so that it does what it does, right? So, it's a big thing. It's a big season for you. There's also a season coming where you'll transition from here. I see that as well. Watch. I know you don't want to. It's coming, though. It will. Just watch this. Just turn and look at everybody real quick. This is going to be beautiful. Just look at me for a second, because she don't want to. And I'm not saying it's near. Don't go. I'm not telling you to go. But there will come a time where God will open up something for you, and it will be on the table. And watch what God does. Just watch. Just watch. I promise you. That's a beautiful thing. You know why it's beautiful? Two reasons. She's going to be blessed, and you're not under a pastor that controls you. God will replace everything that who's supposed to be here is supposed to be here. This isn't home for life for everybody. Our church is for some people seasonal healing to get you through the thing you're going through. Right? You're not my members. This is the house of the Lord, serving his purpose. Don't leave. Not yet. But stay, do what God, be committed to the things of God. Some people will be here for the endurance of it. You know, but you got to follow the Holy Spirit. So just watch. Write it down. And when you get there, just send a tithe. Say, man, he spoke it, right? But there's coming that. There's coming that. There's a season of divine peace and rest for you that's coming. And I promise you, it will be transitional for you. So you're always home here. And this may not be for a long time, but it's coming, I promise you. It just ain't coming right now, so stay still. Amen. So there's a lot to get into with all this. So I just want to get this point to you tonight that it's so imperative, and I'm going to close with this. Matter of fact, one of you guys, if we're going to deal with healing, please, 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 please understand the purpose is not to just relieve your symptoms. Why is God allowing me to feel this pain in my body? Well, first of all, it's not God. He doesn't cause pain. That's not Daddy, right? Most people are afraid to admit that the things that we go through, 90% of them are caused by our lifestyle that we've lived. I got pain in my back. Well, what was you doing for 30 years? How was you doing this? How's your health? How's your weight? There's a lot of things that come. That's not God doing that to you, right? Why would God let me do this? All I know is he works all things out to the good of those who love the Lord. Healing is available to anybody, but we have to set our heart at a complete lifestyle change. That's what healing is after. And when Jesus is healing, he's not just dealing with, I'm getting rid of your leprosy. I'm actually trying to get you actively involved back in the community that you were separate from. And to do that, I've got to deal with everything. Why did he tell him, don't tell nobody? It was double purpose. He didn't want a crowd follow him, and he wanted that man to understand what it's like to be healed and not need people to validate it. My God. My God. Sometimes God will do a thing for you and then say, sit still with it. Because there's no need for you to show this off. Because all it's going to do is strengthen your ego, the very thing I'm trying to kill. Sit still with it. You guys anybody ever been around a legitimate millionaire? Millionaire. People with a lot of money, right? Isn't it crazy how they dress? Them jokers look poorer than anybody in the room. I mean, thong sandals with beat down, like, and then have the nerve to get in a Jag or something. And I'm like, oh my God. And some of them, I know a couple guys that are loaded. Man, drive a Prius. Could go and get any car you wanted. Then you get the dudes that get $200,000-$300,000. They'll go spend all of that, not on assets. On stuff that don't even matter, only to prove to people that there's somebody. And all the money's gone shortly. Why? Because the gift did nothing but serve their ego. And God is about changing the entire package. Sometimes our ailments serve God's purpose in our life in the sense that it keeps us at a place to where we are constantly in dialogue with the Father. And sometimes the purpose of God is to get deeper than the physical ailment and get to the spiritual ailment, and you'll see how your body is designed to line up to a whole spirit man. Amen, somebody? Everyone say this: spirit first, love second. Come on now.